Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with my partner in crime, Stone Payton. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well, man. Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, that's right. Cinco de Mayo. Yesterday was, you know what it was?
Cuatro de Mayo?
Yeah, that's one thing. It is called, what is it? May the 4th. It's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. That's a little known fact for you.
Yeah.
You didn't celebrate that, I'm taking it.
You got that off the Comedy Channel last night? Is no, that where that comes from?
My kid told me it was May the 4th be with you with Star Wars Day yesterday.
Okie dokie then.
So we got a great show today. Once again, it's part of the Spotlight series. We're spotlighting the BMA, the Business Marketing Association.
Yeah, and we have Eric Pennington back. Welcome back to the studio, man.
Thank you, Stone. How are you?
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Nice seeing you.
Well, we miss you because the last time we saw you, you bought lunch. So
yeah.
we got to hang out more.
That's right.
Didn't bring any food today, and we're still letting him on the air.
That's right. Well, I think it's only due to the promise of food later.
Okay, there you go. That'll work.
So what's going on at BMA? I know you do your monthly thing. Get us caught up with some of the activities you guys are into.
We have had a fantastic year this year at BMA. We've had a lot of great luncheons, a lot of great events, primarily due to the speakers, the programming that we have had. Stone, you know our director of programming, Joe Noonan, who's done a great job of putting together a lineup of speakers that marketers want to hear. They provide a lot of value to them, and as a result, our membership is growing, our attendance is growing at our events, and it's been a fantastic year. We're actually about to come to the end of our season, our 2010-2011 season. Next Thursday will be
the final one.
That's right. It'll be the final one. Next Thursday, the 12th, we'll have Nicole Lipson from Georgia Pacific who will be speaking. So we will finish a great season with one more great speaker and another great topic, and we're certainly looking forward to it.
And then you take the summer off? Is that what happens?
That's right. We'll actually have our annual BMA bash in June at the Concourse Athletic Club, and that'll be a great time. That'll be sort of a celebration of the year kick off the summer as well. And then we'll be off for the summer and get things rolling again
in the fall,
early part of the fall.
Wow, that's great.
But yeah. Things really started taking off for you once you started hanging out with us, didn't it?
Well, that's right. you guys are linchpins.
It's not a coincidence.
No, what? No, I mean that's why you guys can. I'll buy your food anytime.
Fair enough. What, you brought somebody with you today? Tell us a little bit about your guest and how you guys got connected and that partnership.
Well, organizations like ours certainly rely on sponsors. They are key and integral to the success of our organizations. And I'm happy to have with us today Eric Balkin of the Boss Group. They are an annual partner of ours, and we are excited about our relationship with them. They are a creative staffing company that Eric will go into much more detail about, but they recently opened up an office here in Atlanta. They are all over the place in this country and in many major metropolitan areas. Last July, opened an office here in Atlanta, and quickly got on board with the Business Marketing Association.
Right.
And we're the only organization in Atlanta that speaks directly to the needs of B2B marketers, and that's a clientele that Eric's company deals with, and so made a lot of sense for the two of our company, our organizations to partner together, and I have him here to talk in much more detail about that.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Eric number two. Or you know what? You're Eric number one.
I'm Eric number one.
That's right.
There
he's
you go.
One.
Yeah.
So, number one.
If it helps, you can call me Thor and call him Thumbelina or something.
That works for me.
Right. Is that that'll work.
Is
that'll
that
work.
Your Twitter name?
It is now. No one take that.
So creative staffing, does that just mean you're really uninhibited in your staffing work? Or
we actually are, but that's not what it means, no. Pretty much anything under the creative umbrella, so marketing, communications, PR, design, editorial, those types of things. And an ideal client for us is an in-house creative team in a corporate environment. We do work with agencies as well, but it's mostly corporate work.
And then so these corporations, they are, they have a marketing department, but they need the actual person to do the work. Is that the what
exactly you guys do? Exactly. A lot of that work is project based, and they'll their work sometimes is cyclical, so they'll have real busy periods, and then sometimes where they're not so busy, so they'll need to augment their staff, and then that's where we come in.
And then the staff being the actual copywriter, graphic designer,
exactly.
Web designer.
Exactly. You got it. Yep. So we'll get people in there. Again, if it's project based, it may be for, you know, a few days to a few weeks to a few months or year or longer. We do temp to hire and direct hire, permanent placement as well.
So how do you vet creatives? I mean, I think I'm creative, you know, so can you like place me somewhere? What's the process for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our vetting process is actually something that we take very, very seriously. And it's one thing that differentiates us from some of our competitors. We have a very, very extensive testing process. Our tests are developed in-house. They're not off-the-shelf tests. So if you come into my office and you're a graphic designer and you say, you know, I know X, Y, and Z software, we're not just going to take your word for it. We're going to put you on the computer, give you this test. It's, again, project-based, so it's applicable to a real-life client situation. It is we are actually one of the only staffing firms that has an in-house instructional designer on staff in a corporate role. And her job is to continually validate and update our testing, making sure that it is real world applicable. Testing is only part of the process. Obviously, we do a very thorough interview process as well. We check references, et cetera. So we're going to make sure that you can do exactly what you say you do before we send you out to a client.
I withdraw my nomination. So
but what if I'm a candidate that is pretty good? Do you have coaching that coaches me up, or I'm just not a good fit for your firm?
No, absolutely. If you are, let's say, not an expert yet, you're an entry-level person, maybe you're fresh out of school.
Right.
Some of our clients, that's
they
what they need.
That,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely. And we do have additional resources for our candidates, for our talent as well, that we can direct them to, some internal, some external, where they can brush up on their skills. They can, you know, get a little more experience. But in the meantime, certainly we can find them entry-level work as well.
Well, you're wearing a purple shirt, and you carry it very well. But I'm going to ask the question anyway.
Sure.
Are you personally a creative, or are you just really good at getting creatives and the people who need them?
I'm the guy who's good at finding them and hooking them up with the clientele.
So you wouldn't do well on that test.
I personally know, but I know how to find the people that do. Right. So, absolutely.
Now, when you're working with these big corporations, are they very specific? Like, they're like, okay, I need these two graphic designers, a web guy, and then a copywriter. Or is it more like, I have this project, can you help me find what I need?
Both. It depends. And it's funny how many times clients really aren't exactly sure what it is they're going to need. So that's another place we can come in, because we're very, very consultative. So if a client says, you know, here's what we are now, I need to get to here, I'm not sure how to do it, we can guide them through that process as well. And other times they know exactly what they need. You know, I need A, B, and C, and can you provide that?
But would they ever come to you and say, look, we're doing a trade show, I don't have a guy on staff that does trade shows, but within doing a trade show, there's a bunch of components.
Yes.
So, like, you can fill all the slots that
absolutely,
they would need.
Absolutely. We can point out things that they may not have thought of. You know, you're going to need this, you're going to need this, you're going to need this. And we'll take them through the process, basically, and say, here's what you want your trade show to look like. Here's what you want the final outcome to be. You know you're going to need a designer to do this, but have you thought about a copywriter or an editor to do this?
Right.
You know, you've got collateral that goes with the trade show. Have you thought about someone doing that? So we'll take them through every step of the process.
Wow. So is this a particularly competitive arena? Are there a lot of folks out there that at least are claiming to provide the same sort of services that you do?
You know, there are a lot of generalized staffing firms out there that will do this. They're not really good at it, but they do it because they do other things, and their clients will come to them and say, hey, I need a graphic designer. They may be great at finding an accountant or an administrative person, but they're not going to turn down the business. They want to do it with their clients, so they'll try to find that. And that's another thing that differentiates us, of course, is that we are a niche provider. That's all we do. So we do it really well. If we don't, we're going to be out of business pretty quickly.
So if they asked you for an accountant, you would have to say, you know what, that's not our sweet spot. We focus more on creative.
Absolutely. Somebody asked me for an accountant, I'll be happy to refer them to someone who's given them a great accountant.
Right. You're not going to just look down your list and a guy that he took an accounting class and then send them their way.
Absolutely not. No. I lose a lot of credibility like that. No, we do creative. We do it.
But that's what the other firms do, right? The other firms that maybe not as picky as you, they just go down their list and go, what are you looking for? Oh, well, this person, you know, drew something one time in kindergarten, let's send them in there.
A lot of them will. And that's a big source of frustration for our clients. And that's why it's great to pick a niche provider like we are.
So how did you get in this racket? What were you doing before you started doing this?
Before I started doing this, I was in diapers. I've been doing this forever. I've been in staffing pretty much my entire career, 20 plus years.
You were one of those kids that were like, one day I'm going to be in staffing. Some people wanted to be a fireman and president. Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to be in staffing, Mom.
I don't think anybody ever says I'm going to be in staffing. You kind of fall into it. I had a psychology degree. I knew I wasn't going to do anything with that unless I went and furthered my education to the PhD level. I wasn't going to do that. I kind of initially fell into staffing, but fell in love with it. And people who have been in the industry will tell you, you if you're in it as long as I have, you're either crazy or you really, really love it, or maybe a little of both.
What's rewarding to you about it? What do you love?
Well, you know, part of it, this sounds kind of cliche, but really the fact that I can literally change somebody's life in a positive way by helping them find a job. There are people, and especially it's more so true in the last couple of years than ever in our lifetimes, of course. But when you see somebody come into your office and they're desperate, they're trying to pay their mortgage, they're trying to feed their kids, they're trying to, you know, make a car payment, and they are very frustrated, they've been looking for work on their own, they can't do it. If I can take somebody like that, put them in a position that they actually like, they're happy doing, the client's happy with them, and they're getting a paycheck, that's a big, big deal. I mean, you really are impacting people's lives, and, you know, there aren't a whole lot of jobs that you can say that about. So, you know, it sounds a little hokey, but it's true.
So how about this relationship with BMA? How's that going for you? And what compelled you to pull the trigger and actually act on that idea?
Well, take a look at Eric Pennington over there. Can you say no to him?
Pretty intimidating.
Am I going to have to buy this guy lunch?
Exactly. We're a new member, so I've yet to reap all the benefits, and I'm looking forward to continuing to be able to do that. But it just seems like a great place for me from a purely selfish standpoint to meet a lot of people that are going to help me advance my own business, and I think that's kind of key for everybody. It seems like a great organization to be able to come in as a business to meet other business leaders and the people that are going to help me, you know, advance what I'm here to do.
Have you met them there?
I have, yeah, absolutely. I've been to a few BMA events so far. Looking forward to doing a lot more. I mean, we're a sponsor to get our name out there, to let people know who we are, and it's a great place to meet other business leaders and make some excellent connections.
So, Eric, if you don't mind, describe for our listeners, if you will, what that process looks like. So, if someone else is out there and they're seriously considering, hey, maybe I should be a major sponsor at BMA. Mm-hmm. What are some of the questions they ought to be asking themselves, and what would that process look like if they decided to do that?
Sure. One of the biggest considerations, and probably the biggest consideration, is the very thing that Eric mentioned, is, you know, where's my audience? Who is my target audience? Are they at BMA? If their business is primarily or strictly in the B2B community, then the BMA should be a strong consideration for any type of outreach effort that they have, again, because of the audience. And certainly, depending on the type of exposure you're looking for, there are a lot of opportunities at BMA to leverage that audience. And if they want to learn more about it, learn what those benefits are, they can certainly go to our website at bmaatlanta.com. I'm listed on there. They can get in touch with me via email from our website. But we try to offer our based on level of sponsorship. And again, the Boss Group is at our highest level sponsor. We try to offer a lot of assets and allow them to really get involved and leverage the BMA at the fullest extent. You know, we at our BMA luncheons, we in Stone, you have actually done this. We try to allow our sponsors, at least at this level, some time at the podium to actually speak to our audience during luncheons. And so there are a lot of there are a lot of opportunities, and we're constantly talking and about ways and finding ways to provide value like that to our sponsors.
And I thought the tilapia was particularly good last time, too.
Well, it's
the food's not bad.
Yes, it's hard to beat. It's hard to beat Maggiano's.
So that's part of the profile. You have to enjoy Italian food, right?
Well, you might. It'll help. It'll help. I'm gonna have to figure out what to do once a month on Thursdays over the summer when I'm not eating Maggiano's. Yeah.
Well, I'm also interested in how do you shop for creative staffing services, because, you know, I buy a car every 10 years. I don't know what to do to buy a car, so I go research and figure that out. Right. I have no idea what questions to ask.
Sure.
Give us some advice in that regard.
Yeah, it's a great question.
You hear that, Lee? That was
great two
question.
Times he said you I've been keeping score over here. He hasn't said I've had any great questions. So.
Just don't ask a bad question later to offset that. Well, first of all, if you're in the industry, if you're an in-house creative, say you're a creative director in you know, some corporate environment, and you're generally going to be pretty well networked into the community. So you're probably going to know who the key players are out there. You know, it's not like you're not linked into the industry already. Having said that, though, with us, especially because we're relatively new in the Southeast, we opened in the Atlanta market last year. We do a lot to make sure that we're very well connected into and networked into the creative community. So we do some outreach. We do things like the BMA, of course. We host and sponsor our own networking events that anybody is able to attend. And actually, not to get too off topic, but we have one coming up next week. It's the 11th, which is next Wednesday. And it's at the Lenox Grill at Lenox Mall. It's called Creative Connects, and that's a forum where anybody in the creative industry can show up, whether they're working with us or not. It's certainly open to clients, prospective clients, talent, people looking for jobs, people looking to make great connections. If you go to our website, creativeconnects.com, you can get more information there. Click on the Atlanta link, and you can see that.
So this is something Boss does around the country?
This is something that the Boss Group does in each of our markets around the country, and it's the second Wednesday of every other month. And it's a great thing for us to really be very well connected into the community, to let people know who we are. So that's kind of an answer to your question, kind of an offshoot of that. But to get back to the question itself, again, people in the industry are pretty much going to know who the key players are. But I've got a great business development team that is out there spreading the word and calling on clients. Our talent, our candidates are great sources for us as well, because if we do the right things, treat them right, make sure that they're happy, they're going to spread the word, let everybody else know. So we've been very fortunate. We've been here a relatively short time and relatively quickly been able to make a really good name for ourselves, got a great reputation, and been able to get into some you know, Fortune 50 companies in Atlanta and a lot of smaller ones as well, of course.
Now, how many companies are in your target list? Because Atlanta's such a big city. Is it like every company, or how do you profile your
targets? Yeah, good question.
That's good. It's not great.
2-1.
Good. No, it's good. It's not even one. That's
you
half.
Guys are the egos in here are huge, huh? Wow, I'm gonna stop saying that. It really varies a lot, but our sweet spot is an in-house creative department within a corporate environment. We certainly do work with agencies as well, so that makes up a good percentage of our business. But generally, it's going to be companies with, you know, 50-plus employees. We do work with some smaller ones, agencies that have cyclical work that need that too. But really, it's anybody with a creative or marketing-related need that we can fill.
Right. But so in sales, what size company do you shoot
for? Oh, in sales? Again, it's going to vary a lot. But
$100 million?
I mean, certainly we work with $100 million companies, but we're not going to limit it to that. So, no, I mean, you know, $10 million plus.
Uh-huh. So yeah. That there's a need at that level. They typically don't have a full staff of creative.
That's right, yeah. I mean, if you're an agency that's, you know, 3 years old, you're doing $10 million a year, you might have 5 people, 10 people on staff internally. And you win a large project, and you know this is a huge thing for you. It's, you know, $500,000 project over the course of a year, and you're going to need some additional people to come in and help with that. Right. You don't have that on staff. That's where we come in.
And that's an agency, and then the same for businesses in general. Is it $10 million and over?
Yeah, businesses in general, same thing. Yeah, right. And certainly there's no upper limit. I mean, we're working with multi-billion-dollar companies. Sure.
So in situations like that, an agency gets a big client, gets mm-hmm. a big deal, or an organization decides they're going to go all out.
Sure.
Speak to, if you would, where do the wheels come off of something like that if they don't have the benefit of some expert counsel from somebody like you,
yep.
or they don't decide to bring in someone like you that has specific expertise right there in that niche? What kind of mistakes do they make?
Right. I've seen it run the gamut. Generally, a lot of times people have underestimated the resources that it's going to take to get that job done. So they might have someone at a VP level kind of generally overseeing a really large project, and from a really high view saying, you know, we probably are going to need X number of people. This is probably going to be, you know, X budget. It's going to take this amount of time. But unless they have someone following the process throughout, unless they have a project manager that is tracking this as it's going, they're going to run up against a lot of unforeseen things. And if we can consult with them up front in the beginning and say, you know, we've been doing this for decades now. I mean, the Boss Group is 25 years old this year or next year. We've seen it all. We know exactly what you're going to need and some of the unforeseen things that might happen. So where you're budgeting for, you know, three designers and two copywriters, you know, the fact is that may get you through the first few weeks, but you're going to run into other things. You're going to need additional people. You know, we know how this works. So this is how you should do it instead. You know, if you're not planning on having a project manager, things are going to fall apart. If it's a large project, I mean, you need someone to run that. You need someone to make sure that there's accountability and that things are going the way they're supposed to go and people are doing what they're supposed to do.
So there's value then of these groups or these individuals actually meeting with you prior to getting the account, right? Just so they kind of know what's available to them.
Absolutely. We're not order takers. I mean, we're very, very consultative. And sometimes it is that direct. I mean, if someone says, I need a graphic designer for 2 weeks to do this project, you know, fine. That's right. You don't need a lot of consulting on that. But when it comes to the larger projects, right. the longer term things, absolutely.
Or I mean, even if they're in the pitching mode, if they're pitching something, it would be good to know what's available to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Agency work, agencies obviously are billing out work to their clients. So they're generally pretty good about knowing exactly what they're going to need. It's generally in the smaller companies or the corporate settings where some of this comes into play.
We got to have this guy back and have him bring a client.
Right.
I would love to.
Wouldn't that make for a cool show? Would you be up for that?
Definitely. I would love to do that. And I'm sure that I've got clients that would be happy to come in and do that. Yeah.
And you don't have to bring the other Eric with you. I mean, that's your call.
I won't bring a client named Eric either. It's too confusing.
Well, and I actually have a special interest in what Eric's talking about and what the Boss Group does. Aside from my role with BMA as chair of sponsorships, I work for an agency as the business development director, and the Jones Group is the name of the agency. So I'm listening very intently to what he's talking about. He's hitting on some great points and things that really corporate marketers should be considering when they're hiring creative talent. And I love their approach to what they're doing, and it is very unique and very specialized in terms of. They're the consultative approach, and I think it's they do a great service to our industry at large and to the clients they serve.
So, I mean, one of the worst things that could happen to you is to get out there and sell a really big deal and then not be able to deliver on that promise because you're not properly equipped, right? So, I mean,
That's exactly right. And he's, you know, again, most of their work, 75-80% of their work, again, is with the corporate in-house teams. But agencies like ours, particularly smaller to mid-size agencies from time to time, for a lot of different reasons, we'll have an immediate need, almost an overnight need for additional talent, and it's people and companies like the Boss Group that we could turn to for that kind of thing. And really, again, based in large part because of their unique approach.
I didn't realize you were in this arena. I thought you worked for that Max's Pizza outfit. And then, and then you dated somebody at the Jones Group. I had it all mixed up.
No. I think Max is going to maybe put me on the payroll. At least make me wear a shirt. Or give me a shirt I can wear for free. Yeah.
So that's good stuff, Stone. Did you learn anything?
I did, man. I want to make sure our listeners know how to get in touch with Eric number one.
Yes,
and then I want to make sure that everybody's up to speed on this upcoming event and knows how to get information on that. But let's start with you, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the easiest way is just to go to our website. It's thebossgroup.com, thebossgroup.com. From there, you can see where all of our local offices are in each market. Of course, click on the Atlanta one here locally, and you can get all our information. My office is in Buckhead. Certainly, phone number, email, everything is on there. Again, for the networking event that we have coming up next week, go to creativeconnects.com. And we'd certainly love to hear from you and to see you at our networking events.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. We're not just being polite like y'all come by for dinner sometime. We absolutely mean it. We'd love to have you come on with a client. We'll get that arranged. And Eric Pennington, let's make sure everybody knows how to get plugged into the next BMA event.
Absolutely. We'd love for you guys to come out and join us. Again, it is next week, next Thursday, May the 12th. We will have Nicole Lipson from Georgia Pacific. Should be a great show. It is our last event, as I mentioned, or at least luncheon of our season until the fall. So great chance to come out and see what our year has been like and what may be in store for next year. And we again will have our annual BMA bash to close out the season and kick off the summer in June. So stay tuned for more information on that. And you can find information about that at bmaatlanta.com.
Cool. Well, that wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. We thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.